beginning our summer in the Psalms. I had a friend tell me that you should have spelled it summer in the Psalms and put a P in front of the word summer. Clever, but we're going to spend the entire summer in the book of Psalms. And in order to get the absolute most out of this ancient collection of poetry and music and cries, we've done some rearranging in here in case you haven't noticed. But there's a method to the madness. We have rearranged for the summer so that we can be more intentional in our experience with the Psalms. We don't want to go through the motions with the Psalms. So let me give you a little tour. Over here to your right, behind those curtains, is a Psalm room. The room has been set up for you to just spend time in the Psalms. You can read Psalms. You can pray through Psalms. There's a station in there to help you write a Psalm. There's a table if you are artistic or desire to be artistic. You can read Psalms and then draw. That helps some people. Doesn't help me, but it helps other people. There's a painting that one of our own did just to help focus on the Psalms. So if you want to come before a service, stay after the service, come when the office is open, spend time just living in the Psalms. The backdrop behind me is obviously changed because we wanted to put a new cross for the summer. If you haven't already noticed what's inside the cross, it's the words to the 23rd Psalm. And as we put up the backdrop, we put it up because we didn't want any distraction from other things so that we could simply focus on the cross. And we rearranged the position of the instruments for the same reason, so that nothing would be getting in the way of you seeing the cross. We're a church that should be important. Over to the side here, it's curtained off because we created a prayer space. And there are at least four different stations in there to help you maybe get a little more excited about praying. If praying for you is this dry experience, check it out. It might be helpful for you. And every couple of weeks, we'll be changing the station so that we're continually being refreshed in our praying. And obviously, the seats are changed. We're sitting more in the round for the summer. And one of the reasons we're sitting in the round is it gives the picture of community. And as we spend time in the Psalms together, it is always best to read Scripture in community. You can read it on your own, absolutely. Personal devotional time is very important. But the study of Scripture is always done best when you're studying with one another. The Evangelical Covenant Church was started in Sweden originally, and it was a bunch of small group Bible studies going through God's Word together and talking about it and asking questions about it and trying to figure out how to live into it and out of it. And so that's one of the reasons we've rearranged the space, because we're doing this together. And it occurred to me this morning as I was singing, I go, wow, I get to actually see people singing. I never get to see people singing because I'm always sitting in the front row and you just get the back of my hairy head. And it, as you look for new places to sit, because it was almost comical to watch you come in this morning, because this is my impersonation of 95% of you. Someone said, where's my seat is gone. So I said, no, your seat's here. It's just probably in a different place. But I'm looking around, I'm noticing some of you are even sitting in the wrong sections. Heaven forbid you get to meet somebody new this morning. So this is a good thing. I told these two that were sitting next to me, I go, I kind of feel like we have box seats for Sunday morning sitting right over there. But this morning we're starting summer in the Psalms, and so we're starting in Psalm 1. It seems a very appropriate place to start. If you have a bulletin, you're going to want to have it out. Grab something to write with. I think in the pockets in the chairs in front of you there are pens. We ran out of bulletins. That's a good thing. You can always just grab a Bible. They're underneath the seats in front of you. But we're going to be working through Psalm 1 together. And so we'll be reading portions of it and then stopping and then going and stopping and going. And it starts out this way in Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. First thing I want you to do, I want you to underline the word blessed. Blessed is a total church word. Church people use the word blessed or blessed all the time. I am so blessed because of the blessing that has been blessed on my behalf. And it is just, it's a word that is almost devoid of meaning for us because we use it so flippantly. Of course, I heard a comedian talk about the phrase, bless your heart. He said the correct translation of the phrase, bless your heart, is, you're an idiot. Oh, you decided to see what would happen if you lit the fireworks off in your bedroom. Bless your heart. But when you see the word blessed in Psalm 1, that's not what it's talking about. It's actually using the Hebrew word esher. The word esher can also be translated as happiness or contentment. And so what the psalmist is saying from the very beginning is, Esher is the one. Blessed is the one. Happy is the one. Content is the one. And then it goes on the rest of the psalm to talk about what it looks like to have a life that is Esher, that is blessed or content. Now, I need you to use your imagination for just a moment. What is the picture of contentment? If you just use your imagination, if it helps to close your eyes, close them. What does someone or something look like that is content? Did you come up with something that looked like this? I love that frog. Frog's just leaning back, hand on his belly. He was eating a lot of flies. That frog looks content. Or maybe when you were thinking about content, this is what you saw. That kid, I don't know what he was. Who gives a kid Jell-O? I mean, I'm just trying to figure that out. But that kid is happy. That kid considers himself blessed. That is the picture of Esher right there. Or maybe content looks like this. Just laying down in a field with your grandkids, just enjoying the wonder of it all. Or maybe content looks like this. Oh, buddy. Sitting out, got a barbecue, sitting in a folding chair with a faithful dog and wearing slippers in your backyard. Maybe that's for you. Maybe that's content. That guy's got everything he's ever going to need, everything he's ever going to want. This is what it looks like to be Esher. But the psalmist is starting out the 150 psalms by going, Esher, blessed, happy, content is the one. But here's the thing. Throughout Psalm 1, one of the literary devices that's used is contrast. The psalmist will put one thing and then compare it and contrast it with something else to try to drive home a point. So he starts out, because he's going to be talking about what does it take to have a life that's Esher, that's content. But before he shows how to, he points out, here's how it's not going to work. Here's what will lead to an erosion of Esher in your life. He says, blessed is the one who does that. I want you to underline these words. Walk, stand, sit. So if you're underlining, underline the words walk, stand, and sit. And then once you've underlined them, draw an arrow from walk to stand and from stand to sit. Because what the poet is doing here is he's showing a progression. Someone just doesn't instantly end up off the reservation. It's usually a progression. Nobody sets out in life to go, my goal in life is to have a life that is not content, that is not happy, that is not blessed. No one starts that way. But through a series of events, people will end up in those places. It's a progression. It's like this. You go to Costco. You go to Costco with a very specific goal. You're buying hummus and red bell pepper. It's a healthy snack. That's what you're going for. Hummus and what? Red bell pepper. That's what you're going to Costco for. But as you go, you notice off to the side the little table with the nice lady in the hairnet. And she beckons you to come near, to just come for a sample. But that's not why you're there. You're there for the hummus and... But you walk, instead of just going directly to the refrigerated section where you know where it's at, you veer off and you walk near. You're not going to try it, whatever it is that she's encouraging you to taste, but you want to see what it's like, right? And so you walk over there, and as you get closer, you see that she is offering kind of a deep-fried chimichanga beef jerky thing with licorice on it, you know? And you stop and listen to her talk about this wonderful energy-providing snack. It's right over there in the refrigerated section behind me. And you can put them in the microwave, and you can eat these chimichanga beef jerky licorice bites and instant energy. And, well, you're not going to buy them because you're there for hummus and red bell pepper. It's just a taste. What could it hurt, right? And you taste it. Oh, you know it's not good for you, but it sure tastes good. Who knew that beef jerky chimichangas deep fried with licorice would be so tasty? And before you know it, you've got your cart full of these bit things. There's no hummus or red bell pepper to be found in your cart. You're going out and you're buying all these on your way to an angioplasty. The intent was never to go to unhealthy places. But when we just kind of walk and then stand and then sit in the places of wickedness, and by the way, when we speak of wickedness, there is a tendency among us to have a very narrow understanding of wickedness. Wickedness is just those things that those people do. And we ignore what Paul talks about in Romans when he started listing what is truly wicked. And he includes things like gossip, greed, slander, pride, lust, selfishness. Those things are equally as destructive as those things that those people do. When we start sampling gossip, when we sample selfishness, when we sample greed, it's mine, I worked for it, I deserve it, we end up compromising our ability to live a life that is even remotely Escher. We think it will provide the happiness our soul desires, only to find out that we end up less content. Psalmist goes on, though. It says in verse 2, but whose delight? Blessed is the one, Escher is the one who doesn't do this, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. All right, remember, a lot of contrast. So if you underline law of the Lord, you could draw a line up to where it says counsel of the wicked. So what he's saying here is, hey, the one who experiences a contentment is the one that spends time with and listens to the law of the Lord versus the counsel of the sample lady. But then he uses two wonderful words, delight and meditates. These words are worth underlining in your psalm, delights and meditates. Now, if I were to ask you, what is the picture of meditating? Chances are your initial response was, you know, that kind of thing. And that's a form of meditation. But when the scriptures talk about meditation, that's not what it's talking about. When you think delight and meditate, here's the picture right there. That is a picture of delighting and meditating. That is a cow with a mouth full of grass. And what does a cow do when it gets a mouth full of grass? It chews, but it chews in a way that the teeth are kind of going this way too. It makes mush out of the grass. And then the cow swallows this, but is not done with it because the cow then regurgitates it back up just so he could chew on it a little bit more. It's, oh, this is so good, so good, so good. And then he swallows it again only to regurgitate it back up again. And you might be thinking, this is disgusting. Yeah. So I go, yeah, but you're going to remember. This is the picture of delighting and meditating. To delight and meditate on the word is to be just like that cow. You're taking the Word of God. You're like, I cannot get enough of the Word of God. I am loving the Word of God. I like the way it challenges me, the way it encourages me, the way it guides me. I like wrestling with this. I like disagreeing with it sometimes and being frustrated by it. And I like talking about it with my friends so that we can understand it in a better way and then try to live into it and out of it. I just can't get enough of the Word of God. And when the psalmist here says he delights and meditates on the law of the Lord, that's the picture. Oh, I cannot get enough of this. This is so good for me, even though I don't like it sometimes. That person, all right, you gotta, if you're wondering who that person is, that person, cow person who can't get enough of the word of the Lord, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Underline the word prospers, because that's a word that gets us in trouble. Because when we hear the word prospers, there's a tendency among many to translate this idea of prosper, meaning, oh, so if I read the Bible and I do what it says, I get rich. The cancer goes away and I get a Lexus, you know, or whatever. You know, we have this idea that if only we obey, then everything turns out perfect for us. And we forget the fact that 11 of the 12 disciples died violent deaths. When you think prospers, don't think that. Don't think money. Don't think worldly accumulating of stuff. Because the other part with that is if you go that direction, if I behave, then God gives me cash. The flip side of it, the dark side of that is then as soon as something goes wrong in your life, then you go, oh my goodness, I apparently have not been memorizing verses enough. And that can't be the furthest thing from the truth. God's not going to give you cancer because you failed to memorize the books of the Bible. That's not how it works. So when God says that person is like a tree, whatever they do prospers, he's not talking about physical benefit as much as he's talking about Esher. The person that meditates on the word of God, that chews it up like a cow over and over and over again, they experience Esher. And when you think about this, there's that wonderful picture of Paul in the epistles in the New Testament. Paul, in both Romans and Philippians, he says, hey, if I live, I live for Christ. If I die, I'm with Christ. So whether I live or I die, I'm with Christ. I win. Do your best. It's that type of person that's able to sing in jail. Remember Paul and Silas, beaten, thrown in jail. Their response? They sang. They had Esher. They were content because of their relationship with the Almighty who loved them just the way they were, not how they should be. Whatever they do prospers. Whatever they do, they're still in a place of Esher. Not so the wicked. Remember, contrast throughout this psalm. It says, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. I got two words for you, tree and chaff. Tree, we're good with. We understand trees. Big, thick, heavy roots. The roots go deep. The tree continues to be fed by the water below. It is strong. When the wind blows, it does not blow over. People that spend time on the Word of God, there's a strength that comes. But the people that don't, the people that try to find contentment with the sample lady, sampling varieties of wickedness and untruth, the psalmist says those people are like chaff. If you're not familiar with chaff, chaff is the husk of corn, or it's the outside of a nut or a seed or something like that. It's the part that is dry, it is dead, it has little to no worth, and when the wind blows, it's gone. When we continue to sample other things, thinking that those other things, other than the law of the Lord and the way of the Lord, is going to bring us a happiness and contentment, we are people that are easily swayed in lots of different directions. That's what the psalmist is saying here. Therefore, pick it up in verse 5, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. If you underline leads to destruction, here's another way to consider this idea of leads to destruction. It's as if the psalmist is saying, there is a better way. There is a better way than the sample card at Costco. There is a better way at experimenting with lots of other things, thinking they will lead to ultimate happiness. There is a better way. And it's the way of the Lord. It's the way of the cow, of spending time with the Word of God over and over again. It is why this summer, during our summer in the Psalms, we are putting together a reading plan. You can pick these up after the service or at the welcome table. It's a plan to read through all 150 Psalms in 10 weeks. Because what is happening is Psalm 1 sets the tone for the rest of the book. It sets the tone for the other 149 chapters of Psalms. It's as if the psalmist in Psalm 1 is saying, hey, enjoy your time in these ancient songs and these poems and the cries of God's people. Enjoy your time. May you have the humility to be corrected by them. May you have the courage to live out of them. Because remember, the goal is never for us to simply have so much biblical information that we can win a Bible quiz. That's not the goal. The goal is to be formed by the Word and live differently. And so the psalmist in Psalm 1 goes, oh, enjoy the next 149 chapters. Let them anger you and let them comfort you and let them guide you. Enjoy your time in this wonderful collection of poetry. It's about 3 chapters a day until you get to Psalm 119, which we do Psalm 119 in 3 days. But pick one of these up. May we follow the advice of the person who wrote Psalm 1, and may we all be better cows this summer. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever, and for that we give you thanks. We thank you for your word that is there to guide and to encourage. May you give us the courage to do what it says and the humility to listen. Father, guide our conversations as we read together, whether it's in our homes or in small groups. Father, guide us as we preach through the Psalms this summer. May your word be bigger than the one preaching. May your word be bigger than any of our preconceived ideas. May your spirit move in and through us this summer. And may we be content with nothing less. We pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, in the midst of trying to read through the Psalms this summer, we will notice that we will fail from time to time to live up to what the Psalms are saying. And it's in those moments that I am again reminded of how thankful I am for what the table represents. I am made righteous, I am made pure, I am made clean, not because of anything I do, but because of what Jesus has done for me. I am made clean, not because of the love I have for God, it's because of the love God has for me. One of my favorite artists once said that, why did they have to nail his hands and feet to the cross? His love would have kept him there. God's love is big. And when we come to the table, we choose to remember what he has done. On the night that Christ was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup also. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This is my promise that nothing needs to permanently come between you and the great love my Father has for you. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And then the Apostle Paul says, whenever we eat the bread, whenever we drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I love the word proclaim. And that's why when we take part in communion here, one, you don't have to be a member of Community Covenant Church. This table is set up for everyone that acknowledges that you can't do it alone and you need Jesus. And to the extent that you understand that, and to the extent that you've chosen to let that overwhelm you, this table is for you. But when we come to the table, the person will say, the body of Christ was broken for you. And our response around here is, we say, I remember. We want to be intentional about this. We don't want to go through the motions. I remember. And then they'll say, the blood of Christ was shed for you. And our response has been, I believe, because we proclaim the Lord's death. We take a stand, literally in this case, say, I remember and I believe. And you just dip it in there and then you can eat. We're going to have, I'm going to invite the servers to come forward. We're going to have three stations this morning. It's going to be a little different. There will be one station in the front here. We'll have a second one back in the prayer room. So if you're kind of sitting toward the back, it might be the best place for you to go. There will be another station that will be in the psalm room. So if you're kind of sitting back this in that direction, go into the back and then come out the front. And if you go into the back and come out the front, take some time to say, I remember and I believe. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we thank you for this meal. We thank you for the opportunity we have to remember and proclaim what you have done. We thank you for the invitation to be part of what you are doing. We pray this in the name of the Son. Amen.